You know, in a world that often feels, well, incredibly uncertain, where challenges seem to just pile up and our faith gets tested daily, what truth, what hope really keeps us grounded as believers?
That's a question on a lot of hearts right now, I think. Understanding the solid rock beneath our feet, faith-wise, it's not just academic, is it? It's vital for navigating, well, everything, for living with real purpose.
Exactly. And that's what we want to explore today. We're looking at Brother Steve's Sunday night message from July 27th, the one titled, Where Do Dead Christians Go? Lesson 4.
Right, from the New Life Benson YouTube channel. And our goal here really is to pull out the core insights about the rapture. You know, what's its foundation? Who's involved? How does it actually happen?
And maybe most importantly for us listening, what does this teaching mean for how we live today? How should it shape our faith, our actions right now?
Mm-hmm. And we're drawing this straight from the transcript of his sermon. He had a really helpful structure, didn't he? Pillars, participants, plan, and then the benefit.
Yeah, we'll focus mainly on those first three. The pillars, the participants, and the plan.
Okay, so starting with the pillars, he made it clear these aren't just like nice ideas someone came up with.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
He grounded them right in the core of our faith. The first pillar he pointed to was the death of Christ.
The absolute bedrock. His sacrifice paying for our sin, making us acceptable to God. Without that, well, nothing else follows, does it?
Nothing. It all stands on his death. And then flowing directly from that, the second pillar.
The resurrection of Christ. This is the power behind it all. Just as he rose, we have that promise too. Death isn't the end for believers.
Such a comfort. Especially when you think about loved ones who've passed on in faith. Now, the third pillar was really interesting. The revelation of Christ through Paul.
Yes, 1 Thessalonians 4.15. He really emphasized this point.
What was the key thing he stressed about where Paul got this teaching?
That it wasn't something Jesus detailed fully in the Gospels. Paul actually calls it a mystery later in 1 Corinthians, something hidden.
Until it was revealed directly to Paul by the Lord. It wasn't just Paul's interpretation or idea.
Exactly. A direct divine utterance that gives it incredible authority.
And that leads to another crucial distinction Brother Steve made, separating the rapture from the second coming or the day of the Lord. They aren't the same thing.
Not at all. He laid out the differences quite clearly. In the rapture, believers go up to meet the Lord in the air. Christ himself gathers us.
And it happens before the tribulation, the second coming, though.
That's Christ returning to the earth on the clouds with angels gathering the elect. It's at the end of the age after the tribulation. Very different events.
So the rapture isn't, as he put it, whimsical theological speculation. It's built solid.
On those three pillars, Christ's death, his resurrection, and this specific revelation to Paul. That's a firm place to stand.
Absolutely. So with that foundation secure, let's talk about the second point.
Yeah.
The participants. Who actually takes part in the rapture?
Okay. So 1 Thessalonians 4 again, Paul mentions two groups.
Right. We who are alive and remain. That's believers living when it happens.
And those who are asleep, meaning believers who have already died in Christ.
You can really feel Paul's pastoral heart here, can't you? The Thessalonians were genuinely worried.
They were grieving, wondering if their friends and family who died would miss out somehow. It was a real anxiety.
And Paul's message speaks right into that grief, offering comfort and assurance. No one gets left behind.
And it's interesting how Paul writes about it. Brother Street pointed out, Paul often uses we, like in Romans 13, 1 Corinthians 6.
Yes, as if he fully expected it could happen in his own lifetime.
He lived with that anticipation. Even while knowing he might die first, which he mentions elsewhere, it shows that constant readiness.
What an example for us to live expecting his return.
And the core assurance Brother Steve highlighted was, don't worry, they're not going to miss out on one thing. The dead in Christ actually rise first.
So no one's at a disadvantage. No lesser saints. Everyone in Christ participates fully. That's huge.
Immense comfort there. Now, what about Old Testament believers? That question comes up.
Right. Brother Steve felt they would be included.
And his reasoning.
Based on their faith, like Abraham's. And also that the Holy Spirit reveals truth across ages. He mentioned Old Testament appearances of Christ or theophanies.
Like Michael the Archangel in Daniel, showing God was revealing his plan all along, even if the full picture came later. A continuity.
Makes sense. Okay, so foundation set, participants identified. Let's move to the third part, the plan of the rapture. How does this divine assembly actually unfold?
Verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4 is key here. First thing, the Lord himself descends.
And Brother Steve stressed the Greek there. It's him, not an angel acting for him.
The bridegroom coming for his bride, the church, descending from heaven where he's been interceding for us.
Such powerful imagery, and he comes with a shout. What did Brother Steve say about that word, kaliosma?
It's a military command, like fall in, or attention. A command for the bodies of the saints to, well, stand up from the grave.
Wow. A command bringing life and order, and then there's the voice of an archangel.
Yeah, the Greek says an archangel, not necessarily the archangel Michael, though Michael is linked with resurrection elsewhere.
So a powerful supernatural announcement accompanying Christ's own shout.
Right, underscoring the magnitude of it all. And finally, the third sound.
With a trumpet of God.
Yeah.
Also mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. This isn't just noise, is it?
No, it's significant. It's a trumpet of assembly and deliverance.
Like in the Old Testament, for festivals, gatherings.
Exactly. Think Exodus 19 calling people to meet God, or Zechariah 9 signaling rescue. This trumpet calls the saints together, living and resurrected.
Calling them out, removing them from a world that, as Brother Steve said, is about to get much, much more wicked.
A stark reminder. And he mentioned those left behind might hear it, but remain unmoved. A sobering thought about rejecting God's call.
It really is. So this incredible divine assembly gathers all believers to Christ, just like that.
And this is where it connects directly to us right now, the application. Brother Steve really drove home the power of anticipation.
Just like Paul lived, we should live with that same expectation of Christ's return.
And that expectation becomes, as he put it, a proper motive for living differently.
For living a much purer life, knowing he could come back at any moment. That changes your priorities, doesn't it?
It absolutely should. It grounds you. And think of the comfort again for those grieving. Knowing loved ones in Christ won't miss out. They rise first.
Such peace in that promise, especially with all the loss we see around us.
And the final piece of application, urgency.
Yes. The prayer at the end really hit that. We don't have 1,000 years to think about it.
This understanding should give us a real sense of urgency to be awake, aware of the times, and living faithfully.
Reflecting Christ, sharing his hope before that trumpet sounds. It's a call to active, purposeful faith.
It really is. Not fear, but a living hope that spurs us on.
So today, we've touched on these profound truths from Brother Steve's message, the solid, revealed foundation of the rapture.
Who participates all believers, living and departed.
And the powerful, divine plan for how it unfolds.
And these aren't just ideas to know, are they? They're truths to live by, shaping how we see the world and how we act in it.
So maybe the thought to leave you with today is this. What might actually change in your daily life, your focus, how you handle things, your priorities, if you genuinely lived with that deep anticipation of Christ's return, the way Paul did?
How would that hope guide your steps today, tomorrow? How would it empower you to live fully for him right where you are?
Thank you for joining us for this reflection on such an essential truth for us as Christians. Until next time, keep seeking his truth and live in that amazing hope he gives.